T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Well, it was much of what was expected in relation to protocols and safety for our students and our staff. I think fundamentally giving parents a choice and providing face-to-face instruction is important. We know that students learn best face-to-face and they're supported best face-to-face. The fundamental issue, though, is that if a large number of parents choose the face-to-face option, that begins to complicate the safety protocols, specifically in relation to social distancing. So just to be clear, districts cannot control the numbers. They would be controlled mostly by parent choice, whether they want to come face-to-face or stay at home.
Now, you've been talking with the parents of your students. You've been speaking with your faculty. Do you think this plan is good enough?
Well, I think fundamentally, like I said, that face-to-face instruction is important. I think that's what teachers want, and that's certainly what we know is the right thing for students. The question about opening school is critical. The fundamental question, though, is when. And so if safety protocols, and many of which were described, masks and things like that, if they're implemented with fidelity, I think that can be very, very possible. Again, the fundamental issue is that the parents choose the face-to-face or stay at home, and as numbers grow in terms of choosing face-to-face, it becomes more complicated in terms of the number of people in a building, just to be simple. And that becomes complicated.
When we had schools shut down in March and all the students had to go home, teachers had to learn how to teach online. Now it's going to be a case of they may have some students in class, some students online. How difficult is that going to be on teachers?
Yeah, so that's very difficult for teachers. And again, depending on the numbers, there may be some teachers assigned specifically to teach students at home online. But those numbers fluctuate. And we want, obviously, for parents to have choice, and that's important. But as those numbers fluctuate, it becomes increasingly more challenging because supporting the students at home and at school. The question of opening schools is fundamental, and we know that that is the best thing to happen. The question is when. When is the best time to open schools, and then in what manner? And so protocols that are outlined that I fully support can be implemented with numbers that are relatively small. As numbers grow in terms of face-to-face instruction, it becomes very complicated to be implementing those with fidelity.
When we take a look at some of the challenges that are possible, right, it's part of the planning. You have to look at the pros and cons, and we've already said a couple of the challenges you might face as far as the actual instruction. But what about when it comes to actually running it, your budget, and you're looking at what's being most cost-effective? Looks like you guys are also going to be having, for Arlington ISD soon, a virtual job fair. So you're looking to bring in additional staff plus spending money on keeping these schools open that may not necessarily be full.
Right, and so therein lies the other part of this guideline, which is helpful, which is that we can count attendance and still support it with state funding for students that learn or request either modality, right, at home or at school. But as the complications increase, then does the cost, and the cost for implementing this type of system continues to grow. So sustainability of funding, the state commitment to continue our funding based on our students and whether they decide at home or at school is certainly something that is the right move. But as you mentioned, as this complicated implementation grows, there are some incurred costs. And I'll give you some examples. If you decide to stay home, do you have the right equipment? Do you have the right technology? Do you have access to be able to log in and learn at the same time? You know, and so those complications, the district, our district, Arlington ISD, is trying to solve by checking out technology like we did in the spring. But that becomes increasingly complicated as students need further technology to sustain their learning.
Dr. Cavazos, one final question. How nervous are teachers right now about possibly going back? Have you heard from them?
Oh, I've heard from teachers, and they are nervous about going back. I'll tell you that our survey results and my communication with teachers is the better we implement protocols, the more stringent, the more fidelity we have to protocols, the better they feel about coming back to opening school. And the one, again, fundamental issue is the volume of people we have in a building. And it's clear through today's announcement that that's not going to be a choice of the district. It's going to be a choice of parents. And I support parent choice, but also the implications of that is that if in some buildings or in some parts of our district, a large number of parents decide to send their kids to school, then that increases the complication of implementing the protocol, specifically social distancing. So it's the equivalent of putting a lot of people in a building space. And we know that that's not advisable today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.